anybody do that you, and you're often say that, and I think you can say you came in, you urged, you said, well, there's a, that we, we're examining all these situations, that we are not going to allow the United States to become the second strongest power in the world, period. That's where.
The volunteer army, I think that the whole personnel structure of the army needs an overhaul before you get into a volunteer.
This is something we have to do, our secretary here.
No, I don't think it's a mess.
No, so I think that you could reasonably have an overhaul of the personnel.
Because if you have professionals that are getting paid, they're gonna be more time, longer service and so forth, they perform different tasks and perform better. It's like whether you have three interns or one competent person, you can do the work with the three interns. This is an exaggeration, but this is a area that needs examination.
Spread it out, turns gate, $40,000 for military research, for the kind of, I don't guess the facts, they get three of them, why not?
Right, sure, sure.
How many, if we put in kind of that which required in military research, procurement, how many jobs would this create? I see hers offhand guess that it astonishes them, several hundred thousand, half million people.
Sounds great.
And we've just authorized two silly programs for emergency job and the.
Hard.
Which are gonna buy fewer jobs than you did.
Guy gotta sign that $1 billion bill for 150,000 people to rake leaves. It's a terrible bill. You know, I vetoed it the first time. I'm signing it this time because basically people are gonna say, you don't. But I couldn't agree more. I'd rather put it into the military than I would in that damn thing. I just incidentally, Jim approved it a little ago. He, you know, the interest rates on housing, actually housing are 7%, and they should go to 7.75% in order to, you know, attract the money. And I said, no, sir, not now. I said, right at the present time, we're gonna have an additional subsidy of $600 billion to keep the interest rate at 7%. In other words, we'll make it. Because I said, well, it takes a lot of the budget, so I said, listen, it's a hell of a lot better to spend $600 billion to subsidize housing. And maybe that'd be 150,000 to 200,000 units that would be involved by keeping it there. And that, I said, I'd rather have those people in those jobs than to pay a billion for 150,000 rake of leaves in Central Park in Fun City.
You got a promise,
didn't you? No, it doesn't bother. But on the thing there, I think that ought to be raised, or you ought to raise it. I think it depends on where you put it. You see, if the 4 million research, it depends what you build, and also there's startup times and all that sort of things. I am just, Jim, not enough of an expert to know. I know there's a space program lying down. I've told them to look into other types of, say, basically, not relationship, but applied research that we can have in various fields. In other words, like desalinization, the greater reactor. In other words, there are lots of places we've got to pick up this gap. And defense is another area. If defense can be sold in this country still.
And okay, there's a great debate back in 1971.
Yeah. Did you know there's a great question that can be sold? The domestic council, the law takes polls. They polled on this. And the two areas where people will not support more spending and want to cut some spending are, as you might imagine, defense and space.
That's because of all the PR in the last 2 or 3 years on the subject.
Yeah, well, okay, space now. Somebody told me this morning that one of the cabinet officers at the cabinet meeting said, gee, that I said, that television's fantastic, you know, great shot. And I'm always proud of those guys when you go up there. Maybe, you know, oh, I didn't. I said, you know, my wife said, several of them were talking in there, whatever they had, lunch, brunch, tea, bridge. She says, wasn't that terrible? They paid $8 million for that little car and left it on. Are you with
it? The Tenor guys have been hollering about reorder priorities.
That's right.
There are three, so.
Put it in the slums. Put it in the ghettos.
Yeah, but I think the American people tough enough. To understand the facts, and happily, the facts are now being reported not from Pentagon assessment, but changed by ancient, for example, by
Yeah.
So we reached out to it. I think if they get worried, will they not begin to say, God save the nation?
Yeah. Let me say this. A critical time, Jim, and this, as much as we say, not all of it, this must be just something for yourself, for your guys. The moment of truth will arrive when we see what the Russians will agree to on limitations. If the agreement is not one that is real on their part, as it will be real on our part, in other words, they will not limit their offense. If their SS-9s are big missiles, as we limit our ABMs, then if that breaks down, we then have no choice. And our choice then is to go forward and build some more weapon systems. Right, John? That's handy. I think that under those circumstances, then I will have the base for going to the country. See, by trying to negotiate, it's everybody, all the disarmers that can be negotiated, fine, we're trying. We make a real effort. We will have a talk. If we negotiate to go down the extra mile and fail, and to reach agreement, then you go right to the country and say, under the circumstances, I believe the United States should spend $4 million and so forth. Now, clearly, apart from that, in terms of our budget for 73, we still got to buy the Navy more. I thought you were going to do there. I don't know your room on that now. But the Navy thing concerns me, not because of numbers, but because of modernization. Would you agree? You know, that's the real thing. I don't know anything about the Navy. I believe. I think John's in here on the shore.
You have to recognize that their ships, as the president says, are modernized to the point where there's really no comparison anymore. You need aircraft to deal with their ships. But Jim is absolutely right that, Mr. President, I expect to get some of this out of the business community that have taken cognizance
of defense, that they'll need more defense. But isn't that something?
Yeah. Now, about time. And I'm not talking about the industrial complex.
Of course, I don't mind that either.
I'm sort of using as my example of what happens to your ability to pursue foreign policy if we don't have strong Navy facilities. How can we keep the state of Israel alive if we don't have strong defense? That's not a deal with New York. Interesting analogy to what happens.
Jim, I want to tell you back here, no way to approach you.
Jim, I want to tell you one thing that the president has started from the premise that you have no foreign policy unless you have the caps.
John, let me tell you something. Do you remember the Jordanian crisis? The presence of the Sixth Fleet, in fact, if I ordered the damn thing up there, after many months, considerable risks, and the fact that the Israeli were in the Golden Heights, avoided without any question the potential Russian intervention through the Syrians and the rest of the explode in the Middle East war. We hadn't had 6 feet there. Now, as it was, that operation showed some grave deficiencies. Because of our problems with the Greeks, I too, we've been driven out of virtually every damn airfield, John, through this at the time. And, you know, we had to airlift stuff. If we tried to pull it, if we had wanted to do another Lebanon, you know, we could have done it. Right, John?
Germany to Turkey.
Yeah, that was it. So this uncovered. But there is no man, believe me, in this world who is a stronger advocate of a strong U.S. Navy at this point than I am, because naval power in the world ahead, at a time when there will be a balance on the big ones, naval power is the basis of foreign policy. What was it, Admiral Mahan? Was he the guy that said that thought? It happens to be true today.
Yeah.
See, the big missiles balance out. The land forces, the two superpowers, are afraid to run there for fear they get into the missile thing and kill 7 million. So here the Navy's moving around.
All I can say is the Russians want to get into the Indian Ocean. With their naval forces.
That's right.
And limited numbers.
And they are quite fearful of it. And that's a great thing to hedge in up there with them. And say, we need that 6 fleet, we need it in the Mediterranean, or believe me, there ain't no way. They talk about the balance of power in the Middle East. Now, the Israeli can whip everybody around for the next year, 5 years from now. But they cannot take the risk unless we're there to check in the Russians. That's what is involved here. And we're not there to check in the Russians, the Israeli, traditionally.
Thank you.
like to have a meeting on national events. You know, get a reading on national events such as they have in their head, which they ought to have. And have them just go down the line and say, here's what they got, here's what we got, here's what we got to. And here's what we're trying to do. And also, here are areas where it'd be helpful if you guys would push. It allows them also to get into the game. I don't mind being pushed, you know, I mean, we need to, I'd like to be able to say this to people, look, we got some friends here that want to help. Trouble with Mitchell is such an anecdote, I get out of here all the time. But Mark has always called me up and saying, can't we do more for the ghettos?
Yeah.
And, you know, I just hear the ghettos.
Well, can I get you another golf ball?
Thank you. Get all, every time you come in here, you say, there's your, another pair of cufflinks. That's for your,
do you remember who you did these things?
This is for the, one of your secretaries.
Do you have a paperweight yet?
You have it. It's very small, a paperweight.
And I always tell people that I says, now,
whenever that the paper in your desk gets so thick that won't open, get rid of the paper, not the weight.
Okay?
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks.
You're gonna have to,
you know.
recognize it, then you're gonna have to say something as a way to close it out, and tell them to have a good time and leave. You got it.
memorandum to Whitaker in the park manager's meeting. The question was raised with regard to crowds, the cloud seating.
Memorandum to Whitaker.
In the meeting with the park managers, the question was raised with regard to cloud seating. Brief report on what progress we are making in this area. I am not satisfied with the Department of the Interior's answers on either this or desalinization. And I want you to write a part to give us some more imaginative answers. This is a letter to Ruby Keeler. Dear Ms. Keeler, addressing you so far, I'm sure you know that both Mrs. Nixon and I always think of you as Ruby. The great star who favorites. Over the years. My great favorites over the years, great. Paragraph. Lower than that. Was one of the best. By far one of the most enjoyable shows we've seen on broad here.
One of the most enjoyable shows that we've seen on broad here. It was by far one of the most
enjoyable shows we have seen on Broadway in years. I think a favorable response of the audience. Indication that the American people still trying for some of the way out. They've had to endure in recent times, very and we need to play it along the way back to Washington on the plane. I'm afraid to find that you played golf in the 80s. Under the circumstances, I'm particularly proud to have you use one of my presidential golf balls the next time you plan to shoot a hole in one. I am sending one there with this letter. Send my appreciation and congratulations again to the cast, stage managers, and all those who participated in giving us such a memorable evening. Sincerely. And then Bobby Van, V-A-N. Dear Mr. Van, I'm going to be asked to autograph the snapshot, which was taken off of one of my recent television broadcasts. Paragraph. Brilliant. would much prefer to have. Made by all the applicants, so why not as a photographer on the occasion of our daughter Grace's wedding. Very good paragraph. And extending our best wishes to you and your wife Elaine. On the stage, screen, and television in the years ahead. Sincerely. Bill Marriott, dear Bill, Pat and I visited Trisha at the Essex House in New York last night. Your resident manager, Mr. Malone, and the members of your fine staff could not have made a smart welcome. Very. You could be proud of this splendid relation to the Marriott chain. We are in New York.
for RMW would be you include Max von Schroeder, who was the head of the band in a tunnel and Pat worked there during World War II. He's included on one of our White House dinners. I do not know that he may be able to come, but I would like for an invitation to go to him.
Thank you.